When you get started with Kubernetes, it's very easy with the cloud native landscape. It's very easy. How do I solve this? Oh, I add this component and I add this other component and I add this other component. Then you have like 20 something controllers with hundreds of configurations and so on, right? So if you do this in a, let's say, rush way, or you do it as a proof of concept, and that proof of concept ends up being the thing that you are running in production, you may want to go over it and look, how can I simplify this? Can I take advantage of this component and maybe eliminate other things? Simplifying things usually means you have a better understanding of your system, and that makes the system more secure.
You're listening to SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast about cloud technologies, Kubernetes, security, sustainability, and more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the next episode of SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast. Today with me, I have Stefan. Please pronounce the last name yourself in a second. I'm not gonna try to do that myself. Stefan joins us from Control Plane. And before that, I guess he's also talking a little bit about his own background. So Stefan, welcome, and maybe say a few words about yourself. Who are you? Why are you here?
Thanks, Chris, for inviting me. Yeah, I'm Stefan Prodan. I'm a software engineer for some time now. And in the last 7 years, I've been focusing exclusively on open source engineering. I've been involved with the CNCF FlagCD project for all this time. And I've developed some of my own sub-projects inside FlagCD, like Flagger, for example, which is a continuous delivery and progressive delivery side of that. I help architect and shape the current version of Flux, which is version 2. And yeah, my passion is around, you know, working with in the cloud native ecosystem with Kubernetes and build solution on top of that.
All right. Yeah. You said FlagCD, and I think we're going to come back to that in a second. Right now, you're working with a company called Control Plane, and from what I see on the website, that is a security cloud native security consultancy. Let's put it that way. So maybe say a few words about the company itself.
Yeah. So the company is from London, but we are distributed around the globe. It's a security company which focuses on, you know, threat modeling. We do pen testing for Kubernetes environments. We do architectural designs for your continuous integration and delivery pipelines with a focus on security, of course, and compliance. So yeah, our services are more around helping organizations evolve into their cloud native journey, and while they are doing that, doing it in a safe way. You know, you should, if you are migrating to cloud, you should, you know, gain also a better security stance out of it, and that's one of our main focus.
Right. So that means from a customer point of view. When I join as a customer, what would a typical customer look like? Is it like the big company that, as you said, is just moving into the cloud game, or and what are like the challenges they face and where you help them?
So there are a wide range of customers. There aren't only banks and financial institutions, but those are usually the companies that organizations that are looking for. You know, answering the questions, are we really secure? Are we doing the right thing here? And I mean, it's not only about most banks moved part of their infrastructure a long time ago on the cloud, right? It's not about, you know, getting them started with, but it's more about, you know, how the hybrid cloud looks for you, which are the challenges here. And when we go, usually we do an architectural review. We try to understand the system there. And then, you know, through pen testing, threat modeling, and other practices like that, trainings, we try to make first the customer employees more security conscious of their day-to-day operations, and then come up with recommendation for them how they can improve that. Also with pen testing, we discover all sorts of let's say misconfigurations, and we also propose solutions for that. But it's up to the customer to actually take that knowledge and make their security stance better. So it's a mix around consultancy going there, do red team type of analysis where you poke around and see what you find, but it's also about looking at the architecture of the whole thing and how that can be improved. Usually improvement means also, especially in the cloud native world, means simplification. Like
right.
If you see out there, like I know me as a Flux maintainer, I've talked to so many users of Flux, which are thousands, tens of thousands, and when you get started with Kubernetes, it's very easy and with the cloud native landscape. It's very easy. How do I solve this? Oh, I add this component and I add this other component and I add this other component. And then you have like 20 something controllers with hundreds of configurations and so on, right? So if you do this in a, let's say, rush way, or you do it as a proof of concept, and that proof of concept ends up being the thing that you are running in production, you may want to go over it and look, how can I simplify this? Can I take advantage of this component and maybe eliminate other things? Simplifying things usually means you have a better understanding of your system, and that makes the system more secure. So we in the cloud native world tend to have like deal with massive complexity. And yeah, that's one of the things I'm seeing, like trying to reduce complexity and reduce the noise. It's a good way forward.
Right. I think one of the interesting things you mentioned is pen testing. And pen testing is always something that is dear to my heart, because I did not do it in a professional way in the past, mostly for online games and stuff. but I think it's a really important process of actively trying to break into systems or break systems and to find those issues before, well, hopefully non-hostile actors find those. So I think this is really interesting. That is something, I don't know, maybe you have a different feeling about that, but I think it's still something that is not really actively used by a lot of companies, maybe the big ones, but a lot of the smaller companies still seem to miss that, like, or don't really get the importance of pen testing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to post them some years ago, and Andy, which is the CEO of Control Plane, we worked something together, but we I joined Control Plane this year, so I'm quite new to the company. He had a talk on how to hack Kubernetes, and he was on stage hacking Kubernetes from the a root container on the node. Okay, now I'm on the node. How can I get control of the whole control plane of Kubernetes, and then yay, I'm cluster admin, and from here I can do whatever I want. And yeah, I think we should educate people more, Kubernetes users, through things like that, great talks. We at Control Plane also do professional training around where we actually teach people how to hack their own Kubernetes. We have a product called KubeSim, which is a Kubernetes simulator. Everybody gets a cluster. It has all sorts of, and all sorts of, you deploy in our container, now shell exec into it, and from there you can go sideways and all sorts of things. And I think that kind of mentality is important to promote it more. Like, yeah, every time there is some way of getting around the security constraints that you think you have in place. So poking around it's can be fun, and it also teaches you a lot about the system itself. You learn better Kubernetes if you try to, exploit it from this
Yeah,
perspective.
that's very true. It's kind of the same thing. In the past, I advocated a lot for or how to build resilient and fault tolerant systems. It's kind of the same thing from my perspective with security. There is no way to build 100% secure system except for you don't build it at all. So embrace the idea of there are security issues, and in the worst case, pay somebody to find them for you. It's kind of the same thing with resiliency, right? A resilient system is nice, and you can probably build like 100% resilient system, but nobody will pay the money for that. So it's a trade-off. Like, how much money do I have in my bank, and how much is this problem worth solving?
Yeah, and vulnerabilities come at this point come to you from all directions, right? It's what we've seen in the last years with exploiting the continuous integration and continuous delivery pipeline, and you don't even have to hack the production system. Maybe that's bulletproof, but if you can get into some Jenkins server, which is out there on the internet with a hard-coded admin password that everyone can guess very easily, and once you are into the CI system and you can, poison those binaries or deploy your own container on the production cluster, even if the production cluster is great. You are there through the pipeline, right? So
Or even worse, you're gaining the trust of a maintainer over the years of contribution just to sneak in something into the CI/CD pipeline, which is the XZ thing was like completely mind-blowing to me, that somebody will invest so much time up front just to anyway. But you made a good You made a good bridge to Flexity, I guess, right? You said one of the important things right now is that a lot of attack vectors are going towards the deployment pipeline or the CI/CD pipeline, trying to inject something at build time, and getting it signed, certified, whatever you want to call it. It looks like totally fine, and it's still a perfect attack vector. I think that is where control plane also plays into with the enterprise for Flex CD. Is that it? Yes.
yes. So, yeah, FlexCD being a CNCF project, you as a company, even if you hire maintainers, you are not allowed to say enterprise FlexCD because FlexCD is the brand of CNCF. So, and we also, it's control plane enterprise for FlexCD. Some other company tomorrow can offer the same thing, and there is their enterprise offering for this particular project. So that's the naming there. Yeah. So with Flux, we basically what Flux does, it's a way of you to rip apart the CD things from your CI/CD, right? I truly think CI/CD shouldn't happen in one tool or be a thing that's like this huge monolith that builds all the code, has access to all the sources, produces artifacts, then also connects all your production systems and deploys those artifacts, right? Having this kind of monolith, maybe it sounds easier to get started, but if you look from a security perspective and also from a scaling perspective, it becomes a single point of failure and a major vulnerability infrastructure that you have in there. Also, there is this mentality where, especially CI systems are not, people don't think of them as part of your production environment. Right. So,
Fair.
Right? Everybody has access to the Jenkins cluster or whatever. But production is secure. Only SRE people have access there. Well, it, the CI system has a kubeconfig with cluster admin rights because it needs to deploy all things on the cluster. Then you either think of it as your production system or you adopt a pattern like QTOPS, for example, what FluxCD implements, where you move the continuous delivery side inside your production, where the thing that deploys on the cluster is running in the cluster, and it's subject to Kubernetes, RBAC, Kubernetes, security constraints, network policies, and you apply the same, you know, security mindset to your continuous delivery tool as you apply to the whole production system itself, right? So the shift with FluxCD and all the other GitOps tools in the ecosystem is the fact that it runs there in production and you don't connect from outside, from Jenkins or whatever your GitHub actions. You don't have to open your clusters on the internet. You don't have to give some external system your cluster admin configuration and authentication, but the cluster itself goes somewhere and looks there and says, oh, this is what I have to deploy, let me deploy it. And that somewhere is a Git repo that can be different and should be different in most ways than where you store your source code, so you can apply constraints on who has access to the Git repository where my production system is defined.
Right.
You can have a different type of, groups of people and how you drive changes there. You can enforce all sorts of good practices that you can enforce on any Git repo, like main branch is protected and you have to, every time you modify something on a cluster, you have to open a pull request. Someone from the SRE team has to approve it. Oh, yeah, it's okay to change this network policy, right? So you basically apply all the good practices that you have for your code to your production systems. You can keep these things in a separate repository or repositories. And then the production system comes to the repository, sees, oh, there is a new version of this app, let me now deploy it for you. So you don't go to the system, the production system comes to you and decides how the new version should be deployed. So it's basically FluxCD, if you think of it, is like a proxy between, the desired state, which is a Git repo, and the production system where it runs. So you no longer go to the system and control it yourself. You tell Flux, hey, I would like for my cluster to look like this. And Flux can tell you, hey, this is not possible. I have, I don't know, Kiverno or OPA in here and they are blocking this change. Now go and figure out the fix for it, right? So you can, Flux integrates with admission controllers, which can enforce good practices, better security constraints on top of your continuous delivery pipeline. So there is a continuous delivery pipeline here in the cluster and a CI thing, which is completely separated. Right? So just having this separation, improves your security stance and you have a more reliable way of deploying it because let's think like you start with one production cluster in one region, then your business grows, right? Maybe you move from US and you open a shop in Europe as well. You want the European customers to not have huge latency, right? Not go to the cluster in US. So you'll probably create a new cluster in European region there. So the more your business expands, the more clusters you'll have. And what that means, if you have everything running from a single CI/CD tool, every time you add a new cluster, you have to, onboard it into your CI system, like setting up certificates, how you connect to it, and all of that. With something like Flux, when you add a new cluster, you bootstrap Flux, which is the thing that after the cluster gets created, the thing the first thing that gets deployed there is Flux itself. And then you tell Flux, hey, configure this whole cluster, this whole region, according to that repository where you have defined your production system. It automatically does it, right? So it's easier to, you know, expand your production system over regions and so on when you adopt something like GitOps in your pipeline.
That was amazing. I had so many questions. You had just answered all of them. You literally just went through and answered all of them in one go. That was absolutely incredible. Just one quick question, because I think a lot of the audience may use something like Argo CD. In that sense, it's kind of similar, right? It's kind of a similar idea that you separate out like your build pipeline, which would be probably like Jenkins, and then you have Flux or Argo CD or something on the cluster side installing or deploying all the artifacts.
So there are two main projects that implement the GitOps pattern in CNCF. That's Flux and Argo. There is also the Continuous Delivery Foundation under Linux Foundation, CDF, where they host their Jenkins X, which is a rewrite of Jenkins that has GitOps features. There is also Tecton in CDF as a project, which can do continuous integration, but can also configure Tecton to do continuous delivery. It also runs in your cluster. And there are other projects out there which have begun implementing GitOps features into it. So GitOps is quite mature as a way of doing continuous delivery right now. It's far, far away from when I started with it 7 years ago, which felt like, well, what is this GitOps thing? Right now, people like actually get it. And GitOps as the idea is not new. It's not something that we invented in the cloud native space. Mm-hmm. It's an old idea that, you know, Puppet did the same exact thing way before Kubernetes. With the agents and everything. So it's the idea that you have some kind of agent in your production system that pulls the desired state from outside and tries to change the system and make it fit into what you have described over 12 years old and in practice, right? Puppet did really good back then. So
I agree. The whole GitHub things, it's one of those things which is around for a while that never had a real name, but people done it for quite a while. I agree. In the sake of time, because we're already behind the 20 minutes, but I really want to ask you, like, what is your personal view on the future? What do you think is like the next big thing? Is there like something you see coming as like the next innovation of GitOps or CD pipeline security, whatever you think?
So for me, what I am trying to, you know, promote inside the Flux organization and through the Flux project, and all the Flux maintainers are, we try to drive Flux in a direction where we offer, a different way of doing GitOps without Git in production, but with Git still as the tool that you use for collaboration. So what we are shipping into Flux, and it's already in there, we have production users using it, is where we use the container registry as the thing that holds your whole desired state, and we rely upon the Open Container Initiative specification, which I don't know, since 4 years ago, 3 years ago, it has this concept of an OCI artifact. So an OCI artifact is what you are already using it. If you use a container image, that's an OCI artifact. And it's a It's a tarball which has some metadata and it's stored in the container registry. Those are your app images. And with Flux, what we've done, we are offering tools also in the CLI and also all the controllers where you can say, I can do a Flux push, which is the same as a Docker push, but instead of pushing your binaries with Flux push, you push the configuration of your clusters, which can be, you know, all the Kubernetes YAMLs, custom resources, Helm charts, all the definition of your production cluster, it's stored in the container registry, which by design is more closer to the cluster. It's HA, can live inside your private VPC next to the cluster. Well, Git is something that, you know, it's usually outside of that trust zone, because developers have to have access to it and so on. So you'll push the configuration to your Git repo, but instead of Flux coming from the cluster to Git and basically getting over the security trust zone in this area, you'll push the configuration along with your, when you do the Docker build and Docker push, right after that, you'll do a Flux push of the configuration of that application to the same container registry. You sign it in the same way, with coastline or notation. And when Flux deploys the new version of the app, instead of going to Git, goes to the container registry, pulls the definition there, verifies that the definition is correctly signed, and only then it deploys it. So it fits kind of in the security model. And we are also promoting this through our control plane offering for Flux, the Enterprise Edition, where we want to ensure that control plane customers, which are relying on Flux, they can adopt a more secure way and a more better way of doing continuous delivery, not only from a security perspective, but also from a reliability perspective, right? Because you no longer have to get Git in there in your production system. You can rely on the container registry, which you should already have it in there. You should have figured out how to do HA for it. And if you are using a cloud vendor, you already have all these things. But no cloud vendor out there will give you the same SLAs and the same insurances for a Git offering in the way they do it for container registries, right? So that's where we are moving with Flux.
That is a really interesting approach. And I never thought of it, like the container registry to me always was like, image registry, basically. That's an interesting approach to just reuse the same system and say, okay, now you basically push your consider or your suggested state, and on the other side you just pull it and rebuild it. That's interesting. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I'd have a few more questions, but 20 minutes are over. So thank you very much. It was a pleasure. I hope people learned something. I certainly learned something new. I only used Argo CD in the past, so Flux is new to me. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, and yeah, please try Flux. You'll love it.
Yes, please try Flux. And until next week when you come back and listen to the next episode, you have 1 week to try Flux now. Thank you very much for being here. Hear you guys next week, or you hear me, whatever. See ya.
The Cloud Commute Podcast is sponsored by SimplyBlock, your own elastic block storage engine for the cloud. Get higher IOPS and low predictable latency while bringing down your total cost of ownership. www.simplyblock.io